in this past week. Marion Schmiede, she hasn't been here for a while. She's been a shut-in member in Fort Collins, Colorado. She passed away. Funeral will be here at Good Shepherd, 10 a.m. on Tuesday. 10 a.m. on Tuesday. It has also pleased Almighty God to summon Lowell Rankin. Lowell Rankin hasn't been able to make it too much here. In fact, we kind of just added him to the regular shut-in list just a few months ago. He passed away on Friday. His funeral will be 11 a.m. on Wednesday. And I was also reminded of this as I looked. As you notice, we have a baptism today. And if you look at the back of the sheet here, it struck me. Clara Elizabeth Allman. And we just laid to rest just 3 weeks ago, Clara Dinas. And so it is amazing to me how the Lord works within his church at every stage of life. Our order of worship this day will be a little bit different because of the baptism. We will have the baptism immediately after with all our usual ceremony with that, page 268. And then the service will immediately continue with the salutation and the call of the day. Okay? From divine service setting number 3. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that you, through your church, give us life. You give us life in the waters of holy baptism, just as you are about to do for Clara. And you give us all life and sustain that life with the giving of your body and blood in the Holy Supper. And then, when the time has come, you call the lambs home to be with you, their shepherd. We pray, O Lord, that you would be with the family of Marion and the family of Lowell as they mourn. Be with them, O Lord, as we point them to you this week. We ask all these things in your holy, your precious name, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Our hymn, number 754. 754.
found on page 268, the front part of your hymnal, page 268. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is your daughter named?
Clara Elizabeth, receive the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet, according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet you led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Clara Elizabeth according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam and which she herself has committed sins, would be drowned and die. Grant that she may be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. From ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Is it your intention to serve Clara Elizabeth as sponsors in the Christian faith? If so, respond yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Clara Elizabeth is physically unable to answer the questions, we as a congregation, the baptized, will answer, giving voice to her answers that she herself is giving. Clara Elizabeth, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Clara Elizabeth, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I
children to come forward. They all received a bottle of water when they came in because our font is empty. We need water to go with the word. So if the children would come forward, please, if you need to come up with them and encourage them, that would be just fine. We'll sing hymn number 593 as the children come forward. Hymn 593.
to receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and he be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb of his kingdom, which shall have no end.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heir with us of all the treasures of heaven and the one holy earth and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Please rise. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted Clara Elizabeth the new birth in holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
We got a few things for the baptismal party, and probably we need to get the microphone switched. Okay, this is for sponsors. Here is the shell with the three drops of water, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the shell very much like the shell we have there, a book describing and teaching about baptism, and then all the various certificates and such. At this time, we'll continue our service with the salutation and collect of the day. Those are found on page 189. Page 189, we stand.
Love.
Grant that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity comes from the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may well be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the words of the gradual together as printed on your bulletin insert. Atone for our sins for your name's sake.
Why should the nations say, where is their God? Help us, O God, of our salvation. For the glory of your name, deliver us.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. This is the gospel of the Lord. Hymn 696. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 6th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke. Dear friends in Christ, now there are many phrases and verses of Scripture that you hear on the lips of people who have never cracked open a Bible. There are many quotations of Jesus that have been ripped completely out of their context and then used to justify as a banner for any or every sort of cause. But there is perhaps no other part of Scripture that you hear more often in our culture than the words of our text for today. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Now, usually this is simply shortened. In a music video, a magazine interview, at a family reunion, or maybe in your own living room. Don't judge me. Don't judge me when I say or wear or do what I want. Don't judge me when I choose any sort of lifestyle for myself or my family. Don't judge me when I choose to love someone of the same sex or choose to become a different sex. Don't judge me when I neglect or destroy my family through gambling, alcoholism, or affairs. Essentially, what it all comes down to is, don't judge me in anything that I do. You see, these words of Jesus have become quite popular. And if someone doesn't know anything about our Lord, they know at least that he's against judging. And that makes him a pretty good guy. At least better than all of you. The accusation flies against the church, especially a congregation like ours that actually believes something. It's said so often that we almost don't hear it anymore. It goes in one ear and out the other. It's become an axiom that no one questions. The church is judgmental. Now, maybe you haven't ever heard this, but I suspect a lot of you have. And certainly our congregation hears it. Certainly the church at large hears it. Someone encounters the church in some way or another, and almost before anyone has any chance to say anything, the words fly out of the mouth. Don't judge me. You see, the words, don't judge me, are an essential part of our modern world with its relativistic understandings. Don't judge me means, don't tell me what I'm doing is right or wrong. Don't judge me means there is no objective standard to which you can hold me or anyone else accountable. Don't judge me, most of the time, means don't call my actions sin. Don't judge me is a trump card that anyone can play to shut off any conversation, to put an end to any discussion, any attempt to talk about morality or virtue. You see, Jesus says, judge not. And that is that. Now, you should know all about this because you do it all the time. Don't judge me isn't just the cry of a transgender activist on TV. It's your cry. Whenever you are trying to justify yourself and your sinful actions. Now, you may not be as blatant as to say it openly in exactly that same way, but you have the same arrogance, the same desire to keep on doing what you are doing, no matter what anyone says. Don't judge me, you arrogantly say, as you approach God's holy altar while living in unrepentant sin. Don't judge me, you boldly tell your pastor when he calls on you to repent. Don't judge me, you say, as you cherish and indulge that secret hidden sin. It's your trump card. Jesus said, judge not. And that is that. Now, most of the time when you hear the phrase, don't judge me, or you use it yourself, it comes exactly as I just said. It comes from a spirit of arrogance. Someone is doing what they know is wrong, what they know is sinful, but they have found in Jesus a little phrase that's a get-out-of-jail-free card, a phrase that excuses everything. Judge not. And that's the way it is most of the time. But we would be making a terrible mistake if we then assumed that every time we hear, don't judge me, it comes from arrogance and unrepentance. Even many of those who cry out, don't judge me, in a bold, seemingly confident way, are in reality souls desperate for a word of grace. Don't judge me then means don't reject me because of my sin. Quite often, you see, these words are actually words of humility, even words of repentance. When a person says, that church, that Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, or you Christians are so judgmental, it could mean that a congregation spoke the truth about God's word and the need to repent, and that person simply rejected it, simply refused to repent. But on the other hand, it could mean that a humble, contrite sinner, broken by their transgressions, facing the deep and very real consequences of their sins, not knowing how to escape, came to your church or came to you, desperate for a word of grace. But instead, all they were given was the law's threats and the law's condemnations. They came looking for some hope of heaven, and all they received was hell. By word or by deed, directly or indirectly, they have been told, you are not welcome here with us. And that's tragic. That's heartbreaking. For many a broken sinner, don't judge me, is actually a cry for help. And you should know all about this, because you do it all the time. Every Sunday, in fact, you gather before God and you cry out to Him, don't judge me. We have a name for it. We call it confession and absolution. First, we admit our sinfulness. We declare openly who we are. I, a poor, miserable sinner. And then we beg, we plead for grace. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Don't judge me, we plead. Our sins are great. Our sins are many. Our sins fill us every single day, every moment. And we are desperate, desperate for a word of grace, desperate for a word of mercy, desperate for a word of forgiveness. And Christ Jesus has come to bring us that word. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful, Jesus commands us. And the Father's mercy is shown forth in the sending of his Son. Jesus didn't come to judge or condemn. He didn't come to reject those who have been humbled by their sins, driven to repentance by the preaching of the law. Now, yes, Jesus certainly preached the law more sternly than almost anyone ever had before, as there were many arrogant sinners who needed to be driven to repentance. But when the law did its work, when many were driven to their knees by his preaching, Jesus then spoke words of hope, words of comfort, words of forgiveness. And these were not empty, idle words. Jesus himself paid the price to make these words reality, to remove judgment and condemnation from a world that deserved it. For the very one who said, "Be merciful," was shown no mercy by this world. The one who said, "Judge not," was judged by Caiaphas and the unruly, bloodthirsty mob. The one who said, "Condemn not," was condemned to death by Pilate. He was shown no mercy by the rulers of this world, by men, so that you would be shown mercy by God. He was judged guilty, not just by men, not just by the rulers of this world, but by God himself, so that you would never be judged. He was condemned to death so that you will live even though you die. Your sins, which are many, are put away, paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus died in your place. Jesus died your death. He died bearing your sin. He, who saw so much more clearly than anyone else, allowed the blind to lead him into the pit, the very pit of hell. And there he suffered your penalty so that you never have to. He preaches the law to humble you when you arrogantly say, "Don't judge me," clinging to your sin. And he preaches the gospel to forgive you when in humility, in brokenness, you cry out, "Don't judge me," despairing of your sin. He shows you mercy. And it is that mercy, then, that we, as individual Christians, we, as the church, take out into the world. Be merciful, he says, even as your Father is merciful. For we are not the blind. Our eyes have been opened by the healing hand of Jesus. Sight has been restored by the washing of the water with the word, as we saw for Clara just a little bit ago. We do not follow our teacher into the pit. We follow Jesus, our teacher, our master, in the way of mercy. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Our teacher did not condemn us. He did not hand us over to the judgment of his Father. Our teacher showed us mercy. And that is the very same mercy we show to others. Those who desperately, in repentance, cry out, don't judge me. Our interaction with our fellow sinners is to be characterized by mercy. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. You see, the one who has been forgiven and then refuses to forgive will find the same standard applied to him. The one who has been spared the condemnation of God through the shed blood of Christ and then condemns his fellow sinners will find that the same standard is applied to him. The one who has been forgiven and then goes out to forgive, to show mercy, will revel in the grace that he has been given. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The measure you received was mercy. Mercy given to you who didn't deserve it. You were spared the judgment of God because Jesus endured it in your place. This is the mercy that Jesus extends into the world. And he does so through his instruments, his Christians, his church. A disciple is like his teacher when a disciple shows mercy. For our teacher didn't condemn us. He didn't judge us, but he forgives us. He didn't ignore sin. He didn't leave us in our arrogance, but in mercy, he preached the law to us to call out our sin and then preach the gospel to forgive it. When we encounter sinners who in an arrogant refusal to repent cry out, "Don't judge me," we do not leave them in their sin. That's the most unmerciful, unloving thing that we could do. We preach the law. But we do not preach the law because we want to see them go to hell. We preach the law because we have the same joy of the angels over every sinner who repents. We preach the law for the same reason that Christ preached the law, so that sinners would repent, so that they would turn and be saved. And when we encounter sinners, then, who desperately, in repentance, cry out, "Don't judge me," we in mercy extend Christ's forgiveness to them. And then we do all that we can, to welcome them into a congregation of sinners and then help them leave their life of sin behind. As Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." Now, we can only forgive when we have received forgiveness. And we can only call to repentance when we have first repented. I think we forget this sometimes. "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." Specks need removing, but only by those who have had their logs removed, their eyes opened by daily contrition, daily repentance. Repent. Repent of all of your sins. Repent of those sins you try to justify. Repent of your refusal to act in mercy toward those desperate for a word of grace. Repent of judging and condemning. Admit your hypocrisy, that you have desired mercy while giving none. Repent, for your Father is merciful. Repent, for Jesus died for your every sin, you are forgiven. You have been shown mercy. Jesus bled. Jesus died for you. Good measure has been given into your lap. It is overflowing. Enough for you, no matter how many sins. Enough for you. Enough for your neighbor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand and we sing the offertory found on page 192. Page 192. Please stand. Once again to Good Shepherd this day as we gather to hear God's word, to hear of the one who is merciful as his Father in heaven is merciful. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please sign in and pass it along if you're a guest or a visitor. We thank you for being with us here today, and we ask that you provide for us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this day. At this time also, we receive our gifts and offerings.
addition to the prayer requests as listed in your news and notes, I do want to make note of one prayer request. Forgot to mention this at the beginning of the service. Pastor Poppy and Barb are at the 96th birthday celebration for his mother, Adeline, so we'll pray for her this day. Also, would like to pray for the family of Larry, who is the father of Lenny, a friend of Jimmy Stepp, who passed away in a motorcycle accident recently. We stand for prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed upon us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Especially this day, we have thanks and praise to you, O Lord, for bringing into your family Clara Elizabeth. We pray, O Lord, that she would be raised up in the true faith, so that with all the saints, she would enjoy the joys of heaven and the resurrection of new life. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, especially those who have requested our prayers, and the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow, especially the family of Larry, the family of Marion, and the family of Lowell. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and a firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Be with all those who are celebrating this day, especially Adeline Poppy, celebrating 96 years of life on this earth. Be with all who celebrate with her. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The service of the sacrament begins on page 194. 194.
The Lord be
with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy.
our Lord has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
On the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith till life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Seated for our closing hymn, 774, 774.
Oh,
couple of announcements to bring forth to you in the weeks to come. We're in the middle of the summer, of course, and so we've got all those special events. July around here at Good Shepherd, there are vicars everywhere. It's like a Alfred Hitchcock movie or a nightmare or something. But we saw Vicar Williams here about 10 days ago. Vicar Short will be moving in. You see it on the very back, very last part of your bulletin. Vicar Short will be moving in on Saturday at 3 p.m., and you see the address there. I believe it's right over there across the street, I think. But I put it in your computer, and it'll surely tell you, because we got to trust what our computers tell us. Also, Vicar Farewell coming up in another couple of weeks. On the 23rd, we'll have new member welcome in the morning, and then in the evening, we'll have a potluck meal, our usual Vicar Farewell and roast. That will be that evening. There's a whole note about it in here. 5 p.m. it begins, and you see the information about what is needed to bring and all that kind of stuff. Church picnic is also coming up, and that's coming up in about a month, a little less than a month. And I'll be at the McKinney's house, and there is a sign-up sheet out there for the church picnic, also a sign-up sheet for the Vicar Farewell. Also, young adults this Thursday, correct? That's what I thought. I had it on my calendar. Young adults at the Kirk House at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Yeah, 6:30, between 6:30 and 7 on Thursday. I think that's everything that I needed to get. Oh, I might as well, once again, the funeral for Marianne Schmieding is on 10 a.m. on Tuesday, and the funeral for Lowell Rankin is 11 a.m. on Wednesday, so Tuesday and Wednesday. Any other announcements? Anything that I missed in my full and comprehensive list of announcements? All right. The Lord be with you as you continue to revel in the mercy that our merciful God gives to you in overflowing measure. God's blessings.